Derek, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good.
How are you?
Not too bad. How are you today, Dino?
I am outstanding. Probably not as good as you return still on cloud nine, and then you get ready to jump right back on an airplane and head to London. But you'll deal with it, I'm sure, as you're a happy camper today after gutsy effort. I'm not sure, you know, if you even knew or cared about the stat that no WHL team, if you used it as motivation that no visiting team had won a Game 7 yesterday or not, but your kids showed a lot of resiliency in coming back from down 1-0 in that game last night.
Well, you know what, Dino, today, just getting back here today, it almost seems like we're just going right to the next playoff series because we've already started the prep for London and Guelph and the QMJHL team that comes through, but there's just more of a celebration in between, and the effort that the guys put in last night was absolutely outstanding. It's a storybook finish to that series that we finished up with Portland, not only just because we won the Game 7 in their building, but what had transpired the night before, and we had to turn around and play the next night, and that was probably the best thing that set up for us, was it was a back-to-back game, and we didn't have that day to dwell on it, and I'll tell you what, it made a big difference because our kids' energy level came back a lot quicker. They didn't have to think about it, they just had to go out and play hockey, and boy, did they ever play hockey.
In your career as a player or a coach, have you ever gone through such a low and then a high before?
Yeah, you do. It's I think every playoff series, when you're in a final and you're battling for that championship, if you look at us playing in, against Portland 2 years ago, we lose Game 6 and we have to come back here and play Game 7 in our building, which was nice. But you do have that added pressure playing in front of your fans. And that's one thing we knew that would probably be in our favor last night is playing on the road. We don't have to entertain the fans. We don't have to worry about the crowd. We just want to go out there and play our game, and if anything, take the crowd out of it. And anytime you're in a situation at the moment, being in that moment, it sure is a special time.
2012, you guys win, and maybe a little bit earlier than people had expected, but you do win. And you celebrate, rightfully so, and then you get to Shawinigan and you got to get back up and try to win a championship. And I know it's something that you talked about a lot. It was really hard for the kids to get back up. Are you trying to keep it more of a, hey, we won, that's great, but we got something else, we'll celebrate the WHL championship, whether we win or lose at the Memorial Cup later, we got to climb that mountain? And are the guys that have been there before, the Samuelsons, Mraz, Lazars, Reinhardts, Jari to an extent, are they trying to get that message across to the new guys that, yeah, we won a championship, but we got a bigger mountain to climb?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. It's interesting. It's such a weird format. You play so hard for the Ed Chanel Trophy, and you hit that pinnacle, and you climb that summit, and you get to the top, and then all of a sudden you get to the top, and you think, Jesus, another mountain to go. And so the battle just to get from that one peak to the next mountain and start that climb again is unbelievable. And I know with the group of kids that we have that have been through that experience 2 years ago and have been to the finals the last 3 years is really going to help us set up for this tournament, because when we won the finals 3 years ago, that was just kind of the first kind of part of the success of this organization. A lot of these kids have been to the finals 3 years. They've been to the Memorial Cup, 8 kids to be a total number. But these kids have that experience. We talked about it today on the way back on the bus. Is let's reflect on that experience, pass along some of that information to the younger kids so we're ready. And even for us as coaching staff, like we tried to prepare and talk to other coaches about the media, you know, the distractions, the short-term event, how quick it comes and goes. And you have to be ready to play, and every game is a one-game shot. And I used the analogy last night in front of our guys before the game. We talked about the Boise State Broncos, about how when they have these one-game play-in games or these bowl games, they played Oklahoma University, ended up beating them in the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. And I thought, you know, that's the way the Memorial Cup, it's every game is so important.
Guelph Storm you get right off the bat on Saturday. I think it's actually a better schedule for you than Shawinigan. I always find it hard for a visiting team to get the host team right off the bat, because you're playing against the building, you're playing against the hype. That team might not have played for several weeks and all that stuff. So I think it's great that you get a day, couple of days to get in there, get used to the surroundings, get used to the ice. Let's hope the ice is much better in London than it was in Shawinigan, and it will be.
Were you saying it was lopsided?
Just saying the ice was so sloppy in Shawinigan that hopefully it's much better. But Guelph, maybe similar, and I'm not sure how much you know about Guelph, but from what I've heard, might be a little bit similar to Portland, but just maybe a bit better goaltending.
Yeah, you know what? We heard that they're a real offensive club, and they have great offense. I think they scored 340 goals, so they really tore up that division. But you know what? You look at us. We scored 290 goals with a team that's just kind of in the build mode, and that's not too far off. And you look at Portland. Portland scored 338. So we've played against a high octane team like that, and I think that with our structure, like, we can score and we can defend. We're the best team goals against in the Western Hockey League. So that plays into our game a little bit, but we have a lot of respect for Guelph. We hear a lot of good things about them, and just putting together a video package today and breaking down their team. And you saw the goal output. They put up 10 one night against North Bay. And, you know, I think three of the games, they scored two goals in the last 5 minutes to win some of those games. So they definitely can score. And we definitely saw that against Portland. So it's a team I think we match up well against, because we just came off a series against it. It's not a team like, say, the North Bay Battalion, where it is trap game. So hopefully it'll be nice to get that first game in there on the Saturday, and hopefully the fans will be on our side, because it's a Guelph team, another OHL team, and then the host team will have played on the Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Tristan Jarry, excellent for you in the playoffs as well. You know, maybe he didn't have maybe had a couple of goals he'd like back. Well, every goalie likes back, but let's talk about him going into this. He saw what happened to Laurent Brossoit in Shawinigan, where he didn't have his best stuff, so he's aware of the pitfalls that can befall a goaltender. And really, no goalie played well in that 2012 Memorial Cup, and I think the ice conditions played a big part in that. So he knows what to expect heading into a MasterCard Memorial Cup. Even though he didn't get a chance to play in Shawinigan, he knows the kind of pressures and the expectations upon himself.
Well, I think Tristan really showcased himself here in the playoffs. Like, that was the question mark going into the playoffs this year. The question was, like, what is Tristan Jarry going to do? How is he going to respond to being his first playoffs? Well, you know, he won a championship his first year, and I thought he performed unbelievable in the final series. He had some goals you'd probably like to have back, but when the chips were down, I thought he was outstanding. He made a couple saves, even in game six there, to keep the score 5-2 or 4-2. And then even last night, he made a couple huge saves when the score was 4-1 in the second period. So good on him. I think he's really proven himself. I think the experiences that he's gone through in the past Memorial Cup, and then obviously behind Laurent Brossoit last night with great numbers, he's really taken himself to the forefront. And, you know, this is just a coming out party for Tristan. I think the Memorial Cup's going to be a great stage for him.
Derek Laxdal is the head coach of the Edmonton Oil Kings, bound for the MasterCard Memorial Cup for the second time in 3 years. And your team is a little bit different. As you mentioned, there's eight players, I believe, that are going back to the MasterCard Memorial Cup. I look at the makeup of this team and the style of this team, and guys like Michael St. Croix and TJ Foster and Dylan Ruck are not around, and they were highly skilled offensive players. Guys like Reed Petrick, Riley Keyser, and Mads Eller have replaced some of those guys in different roles. And I think maybe you're built better for a championship run with those players than the previous players. Nothing against those previous players, but I just think you get a better all-around game from some of these guys that you've replaced those graduating players with. Am I off base, or am I maybe somewhere close to what you're thinking?
I wouldn't say you're off base, Dean. Like, and we have to respect what those players did.
Right.
Like, they got us to the finals 2 years in a row. They got us to the Memorial Cup, and they won us a championship here, and they were outstanding. But one thing we really liked about this team all year is that we have the ability to grind out games. We're bigger, we're heavier, and we still put up the same offensive numbers, and our goals against were just as good. So I thought we did a better job in one-goal games throughout the year, and I think it definitely showed in the playoffs. So for us, I think we're a much more well-rounded team, and I agree with you, that's built for a championship run, and obviously we've proven that.
And Griffin Reinhardt's play, you know, he certainly got my vote as MVP. I know Curtis Lazar had an outstanding playoff, and the way Henrik Samuelsson seemed to put the team on his back at times, particularly in this final. But Griffin Reinhardt, just the way he uses his stick so effectively, the way he took guys out in front of the net, the way he calmly made plays. And I thought one play in particular, and you know, he took a penalty, and you wouldn't think that this was a compliment that I'd be giving, but he took a penalty in game three, and he calmly went over to the bench, grabbed his stick, went and served his penalty, came out, went about his business, and I just thought it just sent calmness throughout the rest of the team. And it's no surprise, the guy never seems to panic, but he just set the tone for the rest of the team not to panic at that particular situation. And he was just such a horse back there, and just I'm running out of things to say about this guy of how impressed I am with him.
Well, you talk about leadership in a quiet manner. I thought Griffin Reinhardt did a great job. Like, his play on the ice exemplified the attitude we wanted to have in that finals. We wanted to have that controlled emotion from whistle to whistle. And Griff, he just went about his business. Like, he is a big, strong man. And that is your typical, prototypical shutdown defenseman you're going to see in the National Hockey League. And boy, has he ever made a name for himself this year. And you know, we really missed him in last year's final. What if we had Griffin Reinhardt last year and Trevor Cheek? Do we take Portland to Game 7 again? Which just shows you the leadership that he has. But he really has taken a step in this playoffs. You know, the shutdown roles in the first series against Draisaitl, in the second series against the high offense power of Brandon, in the third series against the Volk line, and then to go up against, you know, 2.5-3 lines against Portland. He was outstanding, and you got to look at his partner, too. Ashton Sautner has really rounded out his game plan with Griffin, too, down the stretch. So they've been outstanding, and you can't take away from the other four guys back there, but Griff sure has taken a leadership role. And you know what? This is going to be his team leading in the Memorial Cup, and hopefully it's a swan song going out of the WHL.
One last one for you. I want to ask you about Dyson Mayo. We've been kind of calling him Mark Pesek light a little bit just because he skates so well and skates a little bit like Mark. But what have you seen from him and his development through really what his first playoff as being a mainstay?
There's a kid that's just got ice cold water in his veins. Like, he just, you know, he's playing the first power play unit right now, and he's just, you know, skating the puck up the ice so calmly. And if he makes some mistakes, he makes a bad pass, he gets ticked off, but he doesn't show his emotions. He's got that real calm demeanor. And I think that's just great, you know, seeing guys like Griffin Reinhardt that he plays alongside and Ashton Sautner. I think the teaching of those guys, the leadership, has been outstanding for a guy like Dyson. Here's a player that's basically playing in his first year. He didn't play that much last year, and has taken a huge step. And you know, the future looks bright on the back end with Dyson Mayo, Aaron Irving. You've got Ashton Sautner coming back at 20. You've got Blake Orban. So, you know, we're going to lose guys like Cody Corbin, Griffin Reinhardt. But, you know, you set the table for yourself very well with a player like Dyson Mayo, who's only going to get better. And, you know, he skates the puck like Mark Pesek, has a lot of the same attributes, and just is just a real pleasure to watch. And obviously, we're glad to have him on our team.